You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our meditation text comes from Romans, the 13th chapter, which was our epistle reading earlier, just a few minutes ago, that Rick read to us. A true story tells how two sons of a 90-year-old Fort Worth, Texas woman were worried for her safety. "We're going to get her a pistol, mother, so you can take care of yourself. There's too much violence out there." So they bought their mother a gun, which she dutifully packed in her purse. One day when she left the local shopping center to get into her car, she found two young men sitting in the front seat. She took out the pistol, pointed it at them, and said, "Get out of that car or I'll shoot." They jumped out and ran off. She got into the car, put the key in the ignition, and discovered the key didn't work. Wrong car. She said she would have apologized to the two young men, but she couldn't find them. It was fortunate that the two young men were not hurt. But it's a powerful illustration of how we all get into situations armed with presuppositions and stereotypes that may blind us to the things that should be obvious. It was obvious to the 90-year-old mother that two young men must be up to no good, but that assumption turned out to be wrong. It was obvious to the first Christians that differences within the community were causing problems. Different doctrines, different lifestyles, different worship, different devotional practices. It was all impacting the community. So the Christians of the day thought that unity and uniformity would solve the problem. But the Apostle Paul responded to this way of thinking. And to put it in my words, well, yes and no. In our text today, Paul was sounding a clear call for these early Christians and to each of us today, dare to be different. And he bases it on the central teaching of Jesus, love your neighbor. In Paul's day, as in ours, people were good and morally upright during the light of day, but their behavior at night changed. They did not want anyone to see them be bad. People often conform their behavior during the light of day, but when night comes, it's a different story. To use Paul's words in verse 13, orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality, quarreling and jealousy. This whole lifestyle, Paul argued, was based on one single factor, selfishness. Individuals lived for themselves and their own selfish desires. Other people were used, abused, or exploited for those desires. It cannot be that way for believers in Jesus Christ. You cannot love others and exploit them at the same time. You must dare to be different. Paul went on to say in verse 12, "So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Unlike those who could hardly wait for the cover of darkness, Christians, that's you and me, would live as children of light, even in the darkest times. They would dare to be different. Now, we admire people who walk as children in the light. We look back in history and we admire the righteous Gentiles who sacrificed much, often life itself, to help their Jewish neighbors during the Nazi Holocaust. We admire those in South Africa for the years of resisting apartheid. We admire those in our own country who speak on behalf of the disenfranchised, even when it means alienation from their peers or ostracism from those in positions of power and influence. We admire those students who pass up a big night of partying so they can arise early to work and serve breakfast at the Brisbane Center on a Saturday morning. They dare to be different. Unlike those who wait for nightfall when they can live a life ruled by selfishness, people of faith have lived consistent, upright lives fit for the light. They display the selflessness, love for neighbors. As we read today's lesson, it's striking that Paul is speaking, as he so often does, corporately. He mentions sinful behaviors that we tend to think of as individual or victimless sins, orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality, quarreling and jealousy. We imagine him addressing individuals and probably other individuals at that. But that's not so. Look at the reading again, or listen to the reading again as I read it, bearing in mind that you, found in verse 11 and implied in verse 14, is the plural you. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here for us. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. What an affirmation of the corporate nature of our faith and the walk we have in Jesus Christ. And a reminder that there really is no private sin. My selfishness will inevitably impact others. Within a group, selfishness can manifest in exploiting and abusing others, excluding them by insisting that our way is the only way, that our opinion is the only valid one. The purpose of Christian community is not to achieve total homogeneity, but to accommodate a wide variety of people into the household of faith. The challenge to dare to be different is not just to be different from the surrounding world that does not know Christ, but to be different from one another while still accepting and supporting each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is part of what it means in verse 14, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It is as simple and as difficult as that. Those who live within the world, acting good in daytime and partying it up by night, were living selfishly, only for themselves, adopting a judgmental attitude and looking down their noses at one another. Christians were falling into the same selfish and self-centered trap. In the old war horse musical, Annie, Get Your Gun, Irving Berlin had sharpshooter Annie Oakley engaged in a battle of one-upsmanship with Buffalo Bill Cody. Anything you can do, I can do better. And they would sing that louder and louder. The upbeat spirit in that song can easily degenerate into a self-centered worldview in which we assume that we can really do anything. And because we can, everybody should agree. Unfortunately, over the centuries, organized religion has found it easier to create new congregations and new denominations than to tolerate and work through diversity, unable to agree to disagree. We have sometimes even made a virtue out of our divisions. The list of differences seem to be very long. These are important and divisive issues. Just as eating meat previously offered to idols was in Paul's day. But God's word calls each of us to have an attitude to love our neighbor and work to find expression for a variety of Christian convictions, even on these hard issues. We often focus on our differences versus what we have in common. One thing is truly clear in God's words. All Christians are united by Christ's death and resurrection, and common belief should be a starting point. It was interesting on the lcms.org website, the website for our parent in St. Louis, there's an interesting article how the LCMS and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil celebrated their shared history and solidified plans for further collaboration. Quote, "The brothers and sisters of the IELB and the LCMS are living in Christ. The spoken language may differ, but the two church bodies walk side by side in the same confession of faith in Christ. Both have resources to conduct the proclamation of the gospel and the unity in the faith reflected in the mutual sharing of resources and gifts for the sake of the gospel. Celebrate what they have in common and continue to explore ways to proclaim the gospel." I can bring it even closer to home, maybe not something so grand as my own sister, who is an ordained pastor in the ELCA. And while we have a few different doctrinal positions, we spend time talking about our love of Christ, our shared future together. We are united by Christ's death and resurrection, and we share the ministry to love God and love our neighbors, not thinking less of each other. I see Jesus in my sister's eyes. Oftentimes, when we look into our brothers and sisters, if you look close enough, you see Jesus in their eyes. As Christians, we need to unite against a shadowy world where selfish, exploitive, and judgmental behavior rules the night. But within the body of Christ, we need the kind of diversity that can only grow from selfless love as Jesus loved us. When everybody is busy trying to be just like his or her neighbor, only a little better, of course, the Christian community loses the diversity necessary. It represents the kind of passing of judgment that Paul specifically warns us against. It is the antithesis of loving one another in Christ. The brief story of a little reddish-brown bird found in Europe called the chaffinch. The chaffinch sings like a canary, but there is something unique about this popular songbird. When people take them into their homes, the little birds soon forget how to sing. When they forget how to sing, they get sick. Eventually, they become depressed and die. Unless the bird returns to be with other chaffinch, where they congregate and relearn how to sing, and they get well again. We live in a society characterized by polarization. We keep telling ourselves there's no middle ground, that we are right and they are wrong, whoever we and they are. It is certainly true that as children of the living God, we need to dare to be different than those who subscribe to selfish and self-defeating behaviors. But if we're not careful, we may forget how to sing the song of forgiveness and humility. A song that resounds with a chorus, in our living and in our dying, we belong to God. We belong to God. We need to see each other's strengths. We need to accept one another's differences. And in this season of Advent, we need to keep our eyes on the coming Messiah and celebrate our unity in Jesus Christ. As our text reinforced with us, the need is urgent and the time is short. We must put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We must dare to be different. We close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus. We give thanks for continually bringing us back to your Son, Jesus. We give you thanks for not leaving us alone in our daily walk, but you have given us the power through the Holy Spirit to keep our eyes focused on you and not ourselves, to celebrate with all our brothers and sisters our unity in Jesus, your Son, our Lord, to see in each other our strengths and to be humble about our differences. I pray that as the Holy Spirit illuminates each person's heart, that your word may take root, that you would show us ourselves, and that you would show us our Savior. Make your word alive in our hearts this day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.